Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Pumpkin Spice Puppy by Laureen Berenson. Narrated by Angie Hickman. Chapter 1. Nothing gets my family out of bed faster on a Sunday morning than the prospect of spending the day at a dog show. I'd like to think that our lives don't entirely revolve around dogs, but since we have 5 of them and there are 4 of us, it's a close call. 4 of the 5 are black standard poodles, all retired show dogs, now living their best lives as much-loved companions. The last is Bud, a small spotted dog of unknown origin, found on the side of the road by my older son, Davy. As opposed to the poodles, who are perfectly behaved, Bud is a wild man who makes his own rules. It's a good thing that little troublemaker is cute. Davy is 15 and a sophomore in high school, so he likes to think he makes his own rules, too. In the past year, he's shot past me in height. Now his body is all lanky limbs and sharp angles. Once he gets moving, however, Davy is surprisingly graceful. That will help today. The reason my family was on our way to a dog show was because Davy was entered to handle a standard poodle who belonged to my Aunt Peg. "We've been driving forever," a voice piped up from the back seat of the SUV. "Why aren't we there yet?" 5 years old, Kevin was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed replica of my husband, Sam. Kev possessed many wonderful qualities, but patience wasn't one of them. We'd been on the road for an hour, so it wasn't a surprise that he was tired of sitting still. "Your timing is excellent," Sam said as a large building loomed into view. "We're about to turn into the parking lot." It's hard for me to believe Sam and I have been married for 7 years. Sometimes it feels as though we've known each other forever. Other times, it seems like the years have passed in the blink of an eye. Sam says the luckiest day in his life was the day he and I met. I think he has that backward. I'm definitely the one who's been lucky. The 4 of us had spent the past 6 months participating in dog shows that were held outdoors in lovely parks or open grassy fields. Now it was the first week of November. In Connecticut, that meant there was frost on the ground and a winter chill in the air. Also, that the dog show circuit had moved inside until spring. The good thing about the change in venues was that exhibitors wouldn't have to worry about poor footing, inclement weather, or fading light. The bad? A dozen show rings and 1,000 dogs, plus their crates, grooming tables, blow dryers, and other assorted supplies, would all be crammed together in very close quarters. Fortunately for us, Aunt Peg would have arrived early and have already dealt with some of those problems. A relative by marriage, Peg was a woman in her 70s with a formidable intellect. Having spent decades producing some of the best standard poodles in the country, Aunt Peg was now a distinguished dog show judge. She had a direct gaze, forceful opinions, and a work ethic that would put a longshoreman to shame. There was nothing Aunt Peg admired more than useful people, and she'd done her best to force me into that mold. Her standards were high, and her expectations higher still. I wasn't the only person who sometimes struggled to measure up. During the previous year, Davy had handled Aunt Peg's homebred bitch, Cedar Crest Coral, to her championship. Now Peg was considering the possibility of a specials career, entering her to compete against other champions for group and best in show wins, for Coral. Aunt Peg hoped Davy would want to continue handling the poodle. We were all there to give the idea a trial run. Sam parked the SUV, then we entered the building and went straight to the crowded grooming room, where the pre-ring preparations would take place. I scanned the cavernous space and saw that Aunt Peg had secured a spot for her crate and grooming table beside the setup belonging to a professional handler, Crawford Langley, and his assistant and husband, Terry D'Annunzio. Coral was standing on the tabletop beside her.
"Over here,"
Aunt Peg called out, waving a hand above her head. As one of the taller people in the room, she was already hard to miss.
"I see Aunt Peg," Kevin cried eagerly.
He dropped my hand and ran on ahead.
"We all see her," I muttered. "And I think half the room heard her." Sam reached over and gave me a warning poke. He knows that my relationship with Aunt Peg has always been complicated. His, meanwhile, is utterly straightforward. Sam's a huge fan. His stride lengthened as he went to greet Aunt Peg with a smile. If only it were that easy for me.
We're not late, I said as we approached. Davy had hurried to the other side of the setup. He was already unpacking Peg's tack box and lining up a row of grooming tools along the edge of Coral's table.
Aunt Peg's brow rose.
Did I say you were?
No, but you were thinking it. A snicker came from next door. Terry, no doubt. I hadn't even had a chance to say hello, and he was already having fun at my expense. Terry was a few years younger than me, and drop-dead gorgeous, a fact that was wasted on, well, pretty much everyone, since he only had eyes for Crawford. A long-time couple. They'd tied the knot on Valentine's Day, and we'd all been there to celebrate with them. Terry's hairstyle changed as often as his mood. Today, his locks were blonde and curled softly around his ears. Though he looked as innocent as a Renaissance cherub, I wasn't fooled for a minute. I turned and blew an air kiss in his direction.
Cut that out, mister, or you won't be my favorite person in the room anymore.
Hey,
said Sam. He was down near the floor, helping Kevin unpack the bag of toys he'd brought with him.
Hey,
Davy echoed in mock outrage.
Hey,
Kevin chimed in, not because he understood what was going on, but because he hated to be left out. My family had a point.
Okay, fourth favorite, I said to Terry. But that's still pretty good, right?
He cast a glance Aunt Peg's way in case she wanted to object. She sidled over to stand beside Davy and was pretending to be oblivious. Probably a lucky thing under the circumstances.
Close enough.
Terry flashed me a cheeky grin.
I'll take it.
Crawford's over at the minpin ring, but he'll be back shortly. He wants to talk to you about offering a prize.
Sure, I replied without thinking. Wait, what?
A prize for your thingy.
That explanation didn't help.
Yes, of course, my thingy, I repeated. I've been worried about that all day.
Davy was trying not to laugh. I hated to think what my teenage son might be imagining.
Terry, what are we talking about?
You know, he fluttered a hand in the air. Your school thing.
I stared at him blankly.
Oh, for Pete's sake, said Aunt Peg. The Howard Academy fundraiser. Surely it hasn't slipped your mind. You've been talking about it for a month.
Oh, that. During the week, I worked half days as a special needs tutor at a private school in Greenwich, Connecticut. Howard Academy was a select institution, catering to both children of privilege and scholarship students, and providing a stellar education to all. The school's primary goal was to provide a solid foundation upon which our graduating eighth graders would base the rest of their academic careers. That level of excellence couldn't be maintained on a budget, however. HA had been founded a century earlier in a mansion donated by benefactors Joshua and Honoria Howard. Now the building was showing its age, and growing enrollment over the years had necessitated the addition of two new wings. Not only that, but attracting the best teachers also meant paying a premium for them. Howard Academy had managed for decades on the proceeds from a generous endowment. Now those halcyon days were waning. The school's finances were far from dire, but its board believed in planning ahead. Other school principals might have proposed a bake sale or car wash. Not our esteemed headmaster, Russell Hanover II. As usual, he was thinking bigger. The result was that his assistant, Harriet Bloom, and I spent the previous month ironing out the details of his Thanks for Giving fundraiser.
It's my day off, I said.
Even to my own ears, my words sounded plaintive and maybe a little whiny.
I shouldn't have to think about work.
Pish,
Aunt Peg snorted. Beside her, Davy had Coral lying on her side on the rubber-matted tabletop. She was overseeing his line brushing of the poodle's dense mane coat.
The fundraiser isn't supposed to be work. You described it as a treasure hunt.
It is.
I brightened at the thought. Harriet and I had come up with the theme together. I thought it was genius. We're getting the students involved in raising money for the school by sending them on a quest. Terry also had a standard poodle out on his grooming table. He was busy layering hairspray through the dog's copious topknot. Now he paused to waggle his eyebrows.
What kind of quest? Please tell me it involves swords and dragons.
Nope, said Kevin.
He was running a matchbox car around the floor of Coral's crate. Since he was in kindergarten at Howard Academy, his class was taking part in the treasure hunt.
This one is about pumpkin spice muffins.
You're kidding, Terry laughed.
I wish, Kev sighed.
I like pumpkin spice muffins,
Sam mentioned.
As do I,
Aunt Peg agreed. That wasn't a surprise. She had a ferocious sweet tooth.
It's only the tokens that are shaped like muffins,
Davy said to his little brother.
Once you collect enough of them, you can turn them in for prizes.
Kevin looked up at him.
What kinds of prizes?
I was sure his teacher had already briefed his class on the possibilities, but I was happy to elaborate anyway.
There are lots of great things to choose from. Toys, games, sporting equipment, gift certificates, even a motorized scooter. One parent offered a ski weekend at their chalet in Vermont. And more donations are arriving every day.
That's where Crawford comes in, Terry said. He wants to donate a prize, too.
That's very generous. I'll talk to him about it after the judging. I paused, struck by a sudden thought.
How did Crawford know about the fundraiser?
How do you think?
Aunt Peg asked as Davy set his brushes aside and nudged Coral to stand up and shake out her coat.
I told him. I was quite certain his skills would be much in demand.
Peg, a Howard Academy alumna, had already offered several prizes of her own.
Who's in demand?
Crawford asked, striding back into the setup with a miniature pincher tucked beneath his arm and a purple and gold best of breed rosette clutched in his hand. He was a dapper man in his late 60s, astute, dignified, and always impeccably turned out. Crawford had been at the pinnacle of the dog show game for as long as Peg had. Like her, he had no intention of retiring anytime soon.
You are, I said.
Crawford chuckled.
Like that news.
He handed the small dog to Terry, who slipped it inside one of the stacked crates that bordered their setup. Having won its breed, the Min Pin would compete again later in the toy group.
Aunt Peg's helping, Kev said.
Now that the conversation had turned to prizes, he'd forgotten all about his toy cars.
I always help,
she pointed out.
That was a matter of opinion, one I had no intention of voicing aloud.
Then Sam caught my eye and grinned, and I had to bite back a laugh. Spousal shorthand. After all these years, he knew exactly what I was thinking.
Maybe you'd like to help me spray up Coral,
Davy invited. While we'd been talking, he put in the bitch's topknot. The long hair, currently unsprayed, was listing to one side. Given a comb and a can of hairspray, Aunt Peg could take care of that problem in a jiff. Come to think of it, so could Davy. Usually he preferred to do all of Coral's pre-ring prep himself. I wondered why this time was different. So I asked. Davy might be a teenager, but I knew he could do better than that. I waited for him to make another attempt.
Don't mind me.
Never one to turn down an opportunity, Aunt Peg was already stepping around him to take charge.
Coral's a special now,
Davy said.
Yes, she is.
We all knew that.
So the stakes are higher, and she needs to look perfect. Plus, I haven't shown her since last summer. Oh, for Pete's sake,
Aunt Peg interrupted, casting a glare my way.
Don't browbeat the poor boy. Davy, put on your jacket. Do you have bait in your pocket? No? Then hurry up and remedy that. And comb your hair while you're at it. Look at Crawford's dog. He's ready to head to the ring, which means we need to be too.
Comb and fingers flying, Aunt Peg finished the job with a flourish. She set the can of hairspray down on the tabletop and kissed Coral on the nose. Then she looked around at Sam, Davy, Kevin, and me. We were all standing there staring at her.
What?
She demanded. Nothing, I replied.
That's what I thought.
Aunt Peg gave the poodle's coat one final tweak, then hopped her down from the table. In the setup next door, Crawford was about to leave. We'd be right behind him. Peg unspooled Coral's narrow leash and handed it to Davy.
Smile, she said to him. It's time for both of you to shine.
Chapter 2 Terry went first to clear a path through the crowded room. Crawford followed with his standard poodle. Coral was behind them, with Sam, Aunt Peg, and Davy forming an honor guard around the perfectly coiffed poodle so no one could reach out and touch her. Kevin and I brought up the rear. The dog show was part of a fall festival cluster, and the hall where the event was held had been decorated to reflect the theme. We walked past a stack of hay bales topped by a row of jack-o'-lanterns. Arrangements of marigolds and chrysanthemums adorned the show rings. When we came to a stuffed scarecrow with button eyes and a floppy straw hat, Kevin abruptly stopped and stared.
What is that?
He asked. You've seen a scarecrow before. We watched The Wizard of Oz together. Kev leaned in for a closer look.
Is he alive?
I quickly stifled a laugh. No, the scarecrow in the movie wasn't really alive either. It was just make-believe. He considered that as I tugged on his hand to get him moving again. We needed to get to the ring. The standard poodle judging was about to start, and the entry wasn't large. That was one of the reasons Aunt Peg had chosen this show for Coral's first venture in Best of Variety competition. Usually, Crawford would have a special of his own to show. Today, he'd brought just one standard poodle with him, the class dog. Even so, I wasn't about to get my hopes up. Crawford always had to be considered a threat. He was perfectly capable of beating Davy from the classes.
What about the Tin Man? Kevin asked as we hurried to catch up.
No, sorry, I glanced down. He was a made-up character, too. They all were.
Even the wizard?
His voice rose in stunned disbelief as we arrived at ringside. Several exhibitors waiting their turns outside the gate turned to look. Sam appeared beside us. He picked up Davy's numbered armband from the steward. The puppy dog class was already being judged.
Everything okay?
He asked as he affixed the number to the top of Davy's sleeve. Fine, I told him. We're just having a small Wizard of Oz crisis. Eyes trained on the competition, Aunt Peg said under her breath,
As long as it isn't a poodle crisis, it can wait.
Don't worry, Munchkin. Davy reached over and ruffled his brother's hair. Of the five of us standing there grouped around Coral, he appeared to be the most composed.
We'll fix your problem when I come out of the ring.
No one was surprised when Crawford's poodle won the open dog class, then beat the winner of the puppy class, taking the award of winner's dog, and the points toward the championship that came with it. Just four class bitches were entered. The judge took less than 10 minutes to sort them out and pick his winner's bitch. Then it was Davy and Coral's turn. The best of variety competition consisted of Coral, two additional champion bitches, Crawford's winner's dog, and the winner's bitch. When the five poodles were lined up along one side of the ring, three champions in front, followed by the class dogs, we all moved in closer so we wouldn't miss a thing. I quickly realized Davy was the only non-professional handler in the class. In his place, I'd have been nervous. Davy looked cool, calm, and very competent. He and Coral were second in the row, but Davy paid no attention to the champions on either side of him. He simply did his job and concentrated on his own poodle. He stacked Coral in a square stance, with her head and tail up. Then he waited for the judge to make his first pass down the line. Having concluded his duties for the time being, Terry came over to stand beside us. While the judge ran his gaze over the group of poodles in the ring, Terry did the same.
Coral looks good in there, he said softly.
Shh, Aunt Peg hissed. She was wildly superstitious when it came to predictions about the judging. Terry just shrugged. He was one of the few people who wasn't intimidated by her.
I'm only saying what I see. Don't make me cover your mouth,
Aunt Peg growled. Terry grinned.
I'd like to see you try.
His voice was lower still this time. Even he didn't dare provoke Aunt Peg twice at ringside. Then the judge motioned for the handlers to take their poodles around the ring together, and we all went silent. Even Kevin appeared to be mesmerized by the sight. Coral's movement was breathtaking. It was one of the reasons Davy had been able to successfully handle her to her championship. It definitely caught the judge's eye on the first go-around. Then his gaze slid past Coral and landed on Crawford's dog. Not only was the big black poodle a superior specimen of the breed, he also possessed the advantage of having Crawford at the end of his leash. The dog was striding around the ring as if he owned the place.
That's trouble, Sam murmured.
Indeed,
Aunt Peg sighed. Terry and I shared a look. We'd both seen the same thing they had. The judge placed the two dogs on one side of the ring, then turned the competition into a duel among the trio of champion bitches. Briefly, that made me hope that he planned to choose the best of variety winner from among them. Davy did a commendable job of presenting Coral, and the bitch herself was lovely. Of these three, she was clearly the best. Unfortunately, that wasn't enough. When the judge made his final decision, he motioned Crawford's dog to the top spot. Coral was placed behind him. The judge then pointed and announced his winners. Best of variety and best of winners to the big black dog in front. Best of opposite sex to Coral.
Oh, well,
Aunt Peg said. She shrugged and turned away.
Oh, well,
Kevin echoed as Davy accepted the red and white rosette from the judge, then exited the ring. Crawford and his poodle remained behind to have his picture taken. Terry hurried in to help make repairs to the dog's coat.
I'm sorry,
Davy told Aunt Peg when he and Coral reached the spot where we'd gathered to watch.
Are you?
She gazed down at him and arched a brow.
For what? For not winning, he said unhappily. I tried hard. Coral did too. I thought she looked great.
She did,
Peg agreed.
But,
Davy began.
But,
Aunt Peg interrupted him firmly.
You were so busy concentrating on your own dog that you didn't take a moment to evaluate your competition.
Davy looked surprised.
That's the judge's job. Of course. But it's also yours. It's not enough just to know your own dog's merits and flaws. When you're in the ring, you also need to know what you're up against. What good does it do to showcase your poodle's pretty head if the poodle standing behind you has an even prettier one?
Davy didn't say a word. He'd obviously never considered that.
Just because the dog that beat you today came from the classes doesn't mean he wasn't worthy of respect in the variety ring. If you'd been paying more attention, you'd have realized what a handsome standard poodle Crawford had in there. That dog will be a special himself soon enough, and then we'll all need to watch out. Even on Coral's best day, he's more than capable of giving her a run for her money.
Davy frowned. He still didn't look happy.
I guess so.
Aunt Peg wasn't finished.
There's no reason for you to exit the ring and stand around moping, she added briskly. Of course you wanted to win. I wanted to win too, but you have to keep an open mind and realize that you don't always deserve to.
Kevin must have realized that his brother was on the losing end of that discussion, because he marched over to stand in front of Aunt Peg. He tipped back his head and stared way up at her.
I wanted to win too, he announced.
Did you?
She gazed down at him.
Why?
Because I like purple and gold ribbons.
If you're lucky, maybe next time we'll get one for you. But now your parents and I are going to take Coral back to the setup. Perhaps you and Davy should take a few minutes to work out your wizard problems. Then we'll see you back there shortly.
Aunt Peg posed the remark as a question, but we all knew we'd been given our orders. As we headed back toward the grooming area, I fell in beside her. "Did you mean what you told Davy back there?" I asked.
"Of course I did."
"All of it?" This time she hesitated. "Is Crawford's dog better than Coral? Would you have marked that class the same way?"
"No, not today,"
Aunt Peg admitted.
"But it was close. And I can see how someone else might compare the two and place them differently than I would."
"Not to mention the Crawford factor," Sam said. "Davy did well showing Coral in the classes. But if he wants to be competitive showing in the variety against the pros, he's going to have to take his skills up a notch." Aunt Peg nodded in agreement.
"You're quite right. The margin for error is growing slimmer all the time. We're in the big leagues now."
Chapter 3. Mondays start early at my house. Two kids, two jobs, and five dogs are a lot to manage. Sam mostly handles his part with aplomb. I'm the one who's likely to be running around the house at the last minute looking for lost homework or missing shoes. Whatever problems crop up, Bud is usually the guilty party. Somehow, he manages to take up more bandwidth than all our standard poodles combined. Faith is our oldest poodle, and my best friend. She and I have been together for 9 years, and the bond we share is incredibly meaningful. Her delightful daughter Eve is our other female poodle. The two males are Tar and Augie. Tar is a lovable goofball, and Augie is Davy's dog. Davy raised Augie and trained him. Augie sleeps on Davy's bed, just as Bud sleeps with Kevin. Sam works from home, so his morning routine is less hectic. At least it feels that way to me. Together, he and I make sure that the boys are dressed and fed and the dogs are fed and exercised. Then Davy takes the bus to the local high school. After that, Kevin, Faith, and I carpool to Howard Academy. Once there, our first stop is at Miss Wheeler's kindergarten room to drop off Kevin. Then Faith and I hurry through the mansion to the passageway that leads to the new wing where my classroom is located. We're supposed to be checked in and presentable by 8:30. Faith and I nearly always make it on time. That morning was destined to be one of those days when we didn't. Faith and I were racing along an interior corridor when I was hailed from the mansion's front hall. Harriet Bloom, the headmaster's assistant, was at her post outside Mr. Hanover's office door.
"Melanie, do you have a minute?"
I skidded to a stop so quickly that Faith flew right past me. The poodle tapped on the brakes, then doubled back to join me.
"Of course, Harriet."
I quickly changed course. "What do you need?" The older woman seated behind the desk looked harmless. But behind Harriet's plump cheeks, twin-set sweaters, and tasteful pearls lay the will of a pit bull. Her tenure at Howard Academy was rumored to be numbered in decades rather than mere years. She was smart, practical, and hardworking, and Russell Hanover was fortunate to have her acting as his gatekeeper. Harriet and I had organized the Thanksgiving fundraiser together. In the process, we discovered that we make a great team. The treasure hunt had begun the previous week. I assumed she wanted to give me an update on how the event was proceeding. Faith was at my side when I entered the spacious front hall. Its two-story vaulted ceiling, polished hardwood floor, and heritage furniture were meant to impress even the most discerning parents. They were also a deliberate nod to the building's storied past. Portraits of the school's founders stared down at me from above a sideboard. A seasonal arrangement of gourds displayed in a woven basket decorated a round table in the middle of the room. Another time, I might have taken a moment to appreciate the room's ambiance. Now, however, Harriet was waiting for me. She opened a desk drawer and pulled out a dog biscuit for Faith as we approached.
"What's up?"
I said. Harriet led with a pleased smile.
"Donations, for starters. Not only that, but tokens are pouring in."
"Good for us?" It seemed too early in the process to begin celebrating, though maybe a small fist bump was warranted. I held out my hand. Harriet just stared at it. "Moving on,"
she said. At the moment...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?